going to the hurry-up offense.
Russell awaits the snap. He gets it from Britt. He's going to throw it to the end zone. Got a man! It is caught for a touchdown! Seahawks!
Gets the snap. Blitz over the middle. Here comes Antonio Brown. Loose again. 25, 15, 10. Bye-bye, AB. Antonio Brown, 62 yards, his second of the game, and the crowd is enjoying every minute of it.
Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, scrambles right. Now, winds up, rainbows into the end zone. It is caught. Yes. The fly to the end zone. Yes. Randall Cobb. Touchdown, Green Bay.
I've been saying it all week. You know, if Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are so smart, why don't they run the Hail Mary touchdown play every play? They would win every game by like 200 points or so. Hey, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program presented by McDonald's. McCafe, wake up and win the day, Ike Taylor and Cynthia Freeland. $1 coffees, $2 mochas and lattes, so on and so forth.
Can we get McDonald's to get a
coffee? Where's our
coffee?
Coffee?
Can I get a coffee?
I don't
Mickey
disagree.
D's. Mickey D's.
I don't
Mickey
disagree
D's.
With you, Ike. I would like
great coffee.
I've been eating a lot of those Egg McMuffins lately because
I can tell
because we've been moving. And,
I can tell.
Look, I got to fill my belly up, and it makes me feel just right. All right, let's get to it. We're in between the wild card round. You just heard some highlights there. We're in front of the divisional round. Let's jump into fittingly. The Andy Reid style hurry up 2-minute drill here. Of course, it got its name from his performance in the divisional round a year ago. This time around, they'll be hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Speaking of whom, did Mike Tomlin leave? Oh, by the way, Kevin Harlan coming up in just a little bit. We're going to break down the quarterbacks. We're going to rank them 1 through 8, the quarterbacks in the dance right now. But speaking of quarterbacks, did Big Ben stay in that game a little bit too long? Shouldn't Mike Tomlin have yanked him out of there with the game in hand? Ike, you were there. You kibitzed with Tomlin in front of and after the game. How say you?
Coach T doesn't live in fear. So we always,
all right, with no, the no, platitudes, listen, always, right out of the gate, live in fear.
We always go with these scenarios, and you left him in there too long. And nah, man, because things can happen at practice. Mm-hmm. He could have twisted his ankle at practice.
Sure.
But somebody could have got hurt at practice. So we're not going to talk about practice because we're going to be like, hey, well, they're trying to prepare for the game. Mm-hmm. Okay, if he gets hurt, things happen. That's a part of football. Nah, you don't leave the man in there. So I just feel like it wasn't a problem for me. Like, if Big Ben wanted to come out, Big Ben would have said, hey, Coach T, I'm done.
Well, that would be weird.
No, no, it wouldn't. No,
because he's not. Here's my pushback on that.
He has established himself.
I like that you called it
to
weird.
Have that.
That would be weird.
So he was like, "Hey, coach, can you see the scope? You see the time, right? I can get out."
Well, but then that makes him seem arrogant.
No, it doesn't.
Puts him above the team to say like, "What? Well, hey, we can't win if I'm not right. So you better take care of me, coach." I don't know. I it's not on the QB. It's on the head coach to make that move or the OC. Either way, but the thing is, he's not Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, which is to say, those guys are guys who don't extend plays. They're not running around, and they're not taking late shots or anything like that. They understand to turtle up when the moment presents itself. That's not Roethlisberger's thing. You got to take care of him. He can't help himself. He's going to keep trying to make plays like he did.
And you're going to live in doubt with that. What you got to understand is Big Ben won his reps with a core of young receivers, Ayers, Eli Rogers.
Yeah, like it all.
He still had a tight end who's still trying to go through his concussion protocol. Like, the man want his reps with young guys. Now, if it was a Hines Ward, Plexico, Antonio Holmes,
okay,
it'd be like, all right, hey, all y'all need to come out. We good. I see what y'all can do. But you still have a young group at the receiver position, man. The man want his real live reps. We ain't talking about practice reps.
I hear you.
Real live game reps, because it's going to be a few times the situation of football come. He's going to rely on these young guys. So he wants to get his reps during the game. So why not leave me in?
You sounded a lot like the answer, giving your answer there when you were talking about practice and everything else. Freeland, how say you?
I guess I don't see it as a problem. I mean, for two reasons. The first is Miami's offense weren't doing anything to be like within striking distance. So there was no worry that you put in Landry Jones and things get out of whack and, you know, then you have to put Ben back in. There was no worry of anything like that happened. Second, they were all playing a little bit less hard. You know, that O-line was doing a great job of protecting him, but they weren't they weren't knocking each other's blocks off at the end of the game. So it wasn't they. And I know Miami is a very ferocious defense, and I have a lot of respect for their defense. But they at the end of the game, when you watch it, when you're seeing it on film, it's not they're not going. They weren't 100% either. Yeah. They weren't 100%. They were down by a lot. They weren't 100%, and their offense couldn't do so. Their defense was tired. They were on the field a bunch, and they were. It was not like full speed. You know. First quarter, Ndamukong Suh, I'm going to come kick you thing. It's not that. It was, you know, we were winning by a healthy margin. We were backup running back in. Like, let's just.
Well, it does appear that Roethlisberger will get through this one. He has a boot on his foot, and I don't want to. I mean, we go a whole week of boat. I don't want to be talking boot all week here, but let's now go from boot to boat. Is Mount Pius, here's my hypothesis here. I'll start with you on this one, Cynthia. My hypothesis is that the actual boat trip had nothing to do with anything.
Agree.
It didn't hurt anything.
Agree.
However, the residents of Mount Pius had a reason to get up there and look down at some human beings who took a trip to celebrate the playoffs, the Giants wide receivers. As a result, then they had to answer questions about it all week long. Everyone in that Giants locker room like, ooh, is this going to affect your game?
Right.
Oh, enough with these questions. You're distracting us. So the distraction was not the trip. It was all the questions about the trip that distracted the Giants. And as soon as, again, you know, we're human beings and football players are too, Odell Beckham drops that pass, maybe drops that second one. I'm sure it started rattling around in his brain. Uh-oh, now I'm going to have to answer more questions about that stupid boat trip. Ergo, Mount Pius is what dropped the Giants, not the boat trip. How say you, Freeland?
I think maybe the temperature of the ball was probably more to do with it than the trip or anything
probably.
Like that. Like, you know, it's a cold ball. You start dropping it, and I'm sure that – I think there's no – I don't think – anything to do with the boat, and I would imagine Odell is not someone listening to. I mean, he's probably listening this week, obviously, but he's not listening to all of the banter. You know, about,
I disagree with that. I guarantee you, he hears that.
I'm sure he hears some, and he's sick of the questions. But
right.
I would imagine. Look, everyone has drops. Everyone has. You don't expect them from him.
Right.
You don't expect him from him in that situation. And then once they start happening, it tends to happen more. But I would imagine I would think maybe the temperature of the ball is probably more to do with it.
I'll tell you, he's got a lot in common with Goldilocks beyond just the curly blonde hair atop his head. He's like Goldilocks in that, well, he doesn't care enough. Look at the boat trip. Then he punches a hole in the wall. See, he cares too much. When's anybody ever going to be happy with poor Odell Beckham already, Ike?
Man, let's get off this, man.
I agree. I want to. But people want to get up on Mount Pius and make trouble about it.
I said it yesterday, man. They picked the wrong game to have the worst game.
Yeah.
As a group. OBJ, we're going to start off with OBJ. Had a bad game. You know, probably had the most drops out of his career in one game. And Shepard was dropping a few. And Cruz was dropping a few. Had nothing to do with the boat trip. It's just that particular time, you picked the wrong time to have a bad game.
But you get my point. Then it starts rattling around like, oh, all the guys who went on that boat trip are dropping it. Those guys are human beings.
Well,
they must know, like, oh, we're going to hear about this now. Now we're going to have to hear about that. And that infects their performance on some level.
What you got to start doing is just start being more low-key. Mm. And I get it. You have a ton of followers.
Look at that hole in the wall.
You're a rock star. I did it after the Denver game.
Did you really?
So I get that.
After Tebow.
I love it.
After that
Tebow, I love it.
After that Tebow, I had to be. Matter of fact, they paid for it. The Rooneys helped me out. It was like, you know what? We feel your pain because it's a lot of pain. So after that Tebow trip, I did way more damage. I think I tore a locker up. Just a whole locker.
This is an amazing story.
And my guys let me vent. They say, hey, the man.
Papa Rooney stepped up and said, I got this bill for you, Ike.
It was a miscellaneous.
That's what it sounds like?
I saw a miscellaneous. So they told me what happened. They told me the damage. I said, Dane, what do I need to pay? They said, we got it.
Really?
That's nice.
Classic.
We got it. So this isn't anything considering what I did when I felt like I got torched in that Tebow game. I went bananas, man. Tore a whole locker up. I don't know who locker it was. I tore a whole locker up. A whole locker. Ripped everything out of it, punched holes, and did everything.
It wasn't the safety who wasn't back there with you to clean up the mess.
No, you know, I don't like pointing fingers.
No, I know.
You know,
but that would be a good locker. I was on
DT, so I should have made that tackle. Point blank, period. That's just how it went.
He punched you.
No, he gave me
punched
stiff
the wall. Yeah.
No, he gave me the stiff arm.
That wasn't.
He mushed me.
Pushed.
He mushed me in my face. So, yeah, this is itty bitty teeny baby. That's a little baby right there. That's a little baby right there.
All right.
Considering
like
what
that.
I did. So that ain't nothing right there.
Next up, I know what Ike Taylor's answer is going to be, and I really don't believe this is based on bias. I really believe that that you have some deeper understanding
those were the
of
only
why
three?
This is true. Well, there are some good candidates here. Bill Belichick, let's assume, is the best head coach
okay.
in the dance
right
now.
All right, we'll agree with that.
Real football,
got it.
Period, right now.
Right.
Who's the second best coach remaining in the postseason here?
Coach Pete. Pete Carroll.
Oh, I thought you would say Coach Tomlin. I'm sorry.
Coach Pete Carroll.
Really?
I love Coach T. Actually, I think Coach T probably needs to be. Coach T, yeah. Coach T, second best coach.
Tied. You can give him a shot.
Well, here's the thing with Pete Carroll. I think, and I've talked to guys with the Seahawks, and they say the guy who really holds that locker room together is Tom Cable. He's the most underappreciated coach in pro football.
Coach Carroll still sets
the
temperature.
It,
Like, you still playing music in practice. You're letting the guys be the guys, meaning themselves. You let Richard Sherman be himself. You let Cam Earl, them guys, be himself. You let Bennett, who's a whole nother monster when you want to talk about personalities, you let him be himself. Russell Wilson is so laid back, so you really ain't got to worry about Russell Wilson. But when you did have Beast Mode, you ain't know what you was going to get out of Beast Mode.
Imagine legitimately.
That's
it's
saying.
A little like Joe Torre with the Yankees managing
that's
personalities.
What I'm
and I
you
celebrate
got, you got,
that.
You got Wagner.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Wagner – Wagner got a few screws loose. Like, he's a cool dude, but he got a few.
I know. He likes talking about the Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And then you have your tight end. What's the tight end we get? Graham. Jimmy Graham. He has his own personality.
It's true, right.
Dougie got his own personality.
You're so right. Yeah, it really is something.
This guy has to manage personalities, which is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he sets the stage for everybody. So, and everybody respect Coach Pete Carroll. That's what I like about it. All them different personalities.
I like it, too. Aside from his conspiracy theories, I think there's something to be celebrated that he celebrates individuals and lets people be personalities. That's what we want.
You see how crazy they go on the sideline. You saw that game against Atlanta.
I agree.
When they didn't have a good game, and Pete wasn't even over there. He just let the players manage that. Like, the players going to police themselves. Hey, coaches, y'all fall back. The players got this. When Richard Sherman was catching his temper tantrum with Cam Chancellor, and they going crazy, and you saw that defense just all rally around Richard Sherman. Like, Coach Pete could have went over there and said something. Mm-hmm. Hey, coaches, fall back. Let the players handle the players. Like, it takes a certain coach who can manage all them personalities. And I like him as being the second best tie with Coach T because he manages a lot of different strong personalities.
And I hail that. Yes, Cynthia Freeland, I suspect you're going to have a different thought process.
She looking like she is.
I do, but okay. Only because here's kind of where I'm coming from. What about a coach who hasn't been head coach for very long and has managed to create the most offense on the entire season? So Dan Quinn, he's only been there. I'm not saying he's not to Coach T, and he's not their level. These guys have more experience, and they've been there. They've seen you. But if you're looking at kind of, the one to watch this year, maybe in this situation for this, you know, if you're.
Can you say the huh again?
Okay. Yeah. So to me, I mean, you've created the most offense and your defense has improved steadily. There are some holes. They have some questions still. But this is that's a pretty good coaching job. I mean, from last year to this year, the improvements we've seen with Matt Ryan, with all of their different options, their ability to run the ball, like this is a pretty outside argument just for someone different.
I love it. All right. You know what? Let's get into it in full. Start the show.
Are we just starting the show?
Well, we started the show, but now we're starting the show.
So that was the pregame.
We just get to dance now.
Kinda. That's like our first quarter. That's like our first possession. We're not going to win or lose the game.
No, yeah, I need that. Yes, you know, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, you can. Like if
tone
you were
setting.
The Dolphins,
yeah,
right?
We
you
need
could
to
the
set
game.
The tone.
All right. Welcome to the DDFP presented by McDonald's. McCafe, like I said, start the day. Win the day. Wait, I want to make sure I say it right. Wake up and win the day. No,
first, you have to wake up, and
then you
can win the day.
That's the order.
Yep, that's the order.
Let's get to it. Cynthia Freeland, her intro song is on the way. Let's hear Ike Taylor. Guess what?
Miss Cynthia on the way?
Oh, yeah, it's on the way. In the meantime, though, here's number 2-4 from the Pittsburgh Steelers with another remix.
No, I ain't got
that. What?
Another one.
Another remix.
He's on three. I'm on one.
Let's hear.
What?
Whoa! Trippy.
What you know about Trippy?
Born in Gretna, that's in New Orleans.
Yeah, wow,
I
really
can't college after 2 p.m.
That's right.
Number 24 has got really opinions for days.
I need my son to
I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. Whoa! That was my favorite one yet, Ike. How say you?
I can dig that.
You like that one?
Miss Cynthia said trippy.
Trippy.
In the beginning, it was a little trippy.
It was exotic, wasn't it? Yeah. I thought we had traveled to you know,
Star Wars.
Back in time.
I don't know where.
We went to Star Wars. We went out of space.
Yeah.
You know, my nickname is Wi-Fi.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
why so?
Because I'd be everywhere.
Is that a dad joke?
Cynthia Freeland.
That's a little bit. It's like
Cynthia Freeland. Cynthia Freeland, by the way, you can check her out on Game Day Morning and beyond. Make sure you do that. Football Baby is a prominent football figure. He is, in fact, everywhere.
No question.
He made the rounds for the playoffs and beyond. He went to, where all did he go to?
People
in Austria who were watching the playoffs sent along. He was at a cricket game in Austria. Match.
He went to the cricket game?
He's so cultured.
He was in Iceland watching football.
You been to Iceland?
He was up in Seattle with a few members
with
of
the 12s?
Czech Republic. Yeah, he was up there with the 12s, as you can see. Let's get him to Arrowhead. I want him to invade enemy territory this weekend.
Man, Football Baby is ever be well.
He really is, although he did not have his best outing in the wild card round, although there was some controversy there. I encourage you to go look that up and render a decision for yourself. So, yeah, he's out there. His passport is getting all filled up.
He's
been all over. Let's jump in now. I want to talk about, because I got a lot of heat on Twitter on Sunday. Because I said, well, Bud Dupree's hit. Let's do this very quickly, and then we'll rank these quarterbacks before Kevin Harlan jumps in here with us. I feel like the Bud Dupree hit on Matt Moore was a penalty, and
why?
They flagged it.
Oh.
Because he made helmet down. That's
Come on,
the rule.
Man, stop all that, man.
I'm just telling you what the rule is the letter of the law.
It's football.
He went helmet to helmet with him.
It's
a 15-yard penalty. What else that was supposed to happen? No, that was a dirty hit. That wasn't a dirty hit.
It wasn't even a 15-yard penalty.
It's a full speed.
Look at this hit. Look at this hit.
Okay, we're looking at it.
Oh, he out of the pocket. Oh, so he live. You going to get out of bounds? No, you should have went out of bounds.
I mean, the point is, look how fast that happens. This is somebody running at full speed. At chasing
I'm mad
the guy
at Miami for
rolling.
Letting that man come back in the game. That's why I'm mad.
All right, that's it. Fair.
Ha!
I mean, I'm not clear
Love
on
noises.
I'm
Love
not
it.
Clear on what people
but look at it,
want
look
to
at
have
it.
Happen.
Look at it.
Are you supposed to
Love
remove
it.
Bud Dupree from the game? Are you supposed to execute him at midfield for
it's
this?
It's football. It's a contact sport.
All right, it's a penalty. Bam. Fine. It got flagged, and that's it. Let's move on now.
I'm mad the Miami Dolphins let that man come back in the game.
That was a little weird, too.
Man, you don't let him come back in again.
Playoffs.
I get
it. You pass the protocol, then come back in.
Anyhow, I don't know what the point is, except that I got a lot of heat on Twitter from it. Like, how dare you? Apparently, you like head injury. Like, that's my thing.
Right.
It's football.
Come on. I'm not trying to be a tough guy and saying, like, hey, it's football. But, I mean, at some point, it's football. What's he going to do? His hand – the idea – that in a vacuum that
so why are they calling the person a foul then?
That Bud Dupree is running full speed at a guy who is drifting, and as he throws the ball, Bud Dupree should be able to identify some square inch on Matt Moore's body that's a
so
safe place to hit him. Like,
foul,
how
Shaq?
Would he know?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Shaq, why are they calling the person a foul?
Because he went head-to-head with him. He hit him under the chin. Well, he hit him under the chin.
Hit him under the chin? Oh,
why
gosh.
Is it also – the other thing that stands out to me about it is – there are penalties, but I like it that in the sport of football, sometimes it crosses a line from it being a professional penalty into being personal.
Okay, so the opposite. So personal and professional fouls.
No, this crossed the line. You got personal with this hit. I love that.
It should be a professional penalty.
Yeah, right.
Instead of a personal penalty.
Is that right? So Bud Dupree has some. I mean, what it implies, of course, is that Bud Dupree and Matt Moore have some business that is not related to football. It got personal out there, and we're gonna acknowledge that with this flag.
To the football's defense.
Some people, it could be.
Yeah, it's always personal. If you got a different color jersey on than I do, baby, it's personal.
It's a personal foul.
It's personal. It's personal. Ain't nothing professional about
that?
It.
We should, like, yeah, you should get so when things happen off the field, like, that should be, you know.
So what should you call it? What would you call it?
Individual foul?
Extra mean penalty. I don't know. That's what I love about personal.
Can we go to the next
topic? An indictment of as a human being. You know what? We're all out here. We're all professionals. But you know what? This is an indictment of you as a person. Personal foul.
Personal foul, baby.
Personal foul. All right, let's get personal about these QBs. We have 8 remaining. And by the way, I like upsets. I think sports are fun when the team that you don't expect to do anything plays Cinderella and makes a long run. I like when guys come out of nowhere and they rise up in the biggest moment. But what I always say is, what I like best in sport is when a guy has all the pressure on him to perform and he rises up and does it. It's why, say what you want about Tom Brady. Tom Brady against the best, against the era's best defense, Seattle in Super Bowl 49, down double digits in the fourth quarter. What did he do? He hung 2 touchdowns on him and won the game. That's money. That's being nailed. So I admire that.
Who would you start your franchise off with? Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Start
your franchise.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the best I've ever seen.
Who's the best quarterback left in the playoffs?
Well, let's get into that right now, shall we? There we have, and so we have, I like, okay, so there weren't any upsets in the wild card round, but what it leaves us with is a truly elite 8, and I hate to use elite as
a— How about 7? Elite 7.
Well, what? Oh, yeah, well, okay. But at least they won their division, did the Texans. So let's dig in now. Let's rank them. I think we can slot B.O. in there at number 8.
Yes.
Let's work our way from there. He's the 8th best quarterback. At number— Ooh. 7—
Brock Osweiler.
Okay.
I think it would be very funny if B.O. went up to Foxborough and knocked them off.
Funny. I think that's funny.
Give me the quarterback.
That's what I would do. I would laugh.
That's except then that's I would be, you know what? That's because you want some outside chance of the Steelers facing the Texans.
If the Steelers lost, what if the Texans beat the Patriots? I'm like, oh, we could have a title game in Pittsburgh. But then the Chiefs won the game instead. That would make me
so give
sad.
Me one Tom Brady.
Okay, number 1. Do you agree with that?
I do.
All right. I'll put to placate my 2 guests.
Give me 2 Big Ben.
It's either
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, no, 3. No. Okay.
You're going to put Rodgers at—
Well, why we keep sleeping on 7?
I'm not sleeping.
Who
Ike go through his and then we'll
Okay,
go.
That's fine.
Like, I think that's
so Ike goes Brady 1.
Then Ben.
Then you go Ben 2. Then you 3.
Whoa, who makes a 3 like that?
Go Rodgers.
But just so everyone here listening knows, Sheck makes a 3 from the bottom up.
I'm left-handed. Doesn't that affect it?
No. Who does that?
All right. So who like else
that.
We got?
Who does that?
I don't understand why you would do that. I don't know. They look pretty much the same.
Oh, wow.
Sheck makes a 3 from the bottom up.
His name is Aki. That's his new nickname, Aki. So— – From who we got left?
You got the favorite at this point to be the MVP, Matty Ice.
So you put Matty Ice at 4.
Yeah, Matt Ryan and Dak Prescott.
You don't want Matt Ryan? Or you don't want Russell Wilson?
No, put Matty Ice at 4.
Oh, all right.
Russell Wilson at 5.
Oh, my. That seems disrespectful on some level.
Oh.
Well, I'm just throwing it. I suspect so it's a 12.
Dak and,
will
Dak
let
and
you know
Alex
they
Smith
disagree.
Left. You have Dak Prescott and Alex Smith left.
Dak, then Alex Smith.
Really? Okay.
We already put Brock as 8. We kind of slotted him
MVP.
In. We're over with.
Yes.
We're
Freeland, your response. So it goes B.O., then Alex.
So
then
tell the viewers we're going from 8 up.
8
yeah,
down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, they
and
didn't
just
make
the same way you make a 3 from the bottom up, this is how we're doing.
Yeah, we're going
Ike,
from
it's more dramatic to count it, you know, down instead of
whatever you want
to
do.
Okay. B.O., 8.
We all agree.
Alex Smith, 7.
Or would you have Dak 7?
Okay, so I guess we need to identify our criteria, right? Because, like, are you—
No, I just like shooting from the hip and talking nonsense. So define criteria. Where do you think you are, Freeland?
It's cool. You know, she like to get so detailed in the stuff,
listen,
man.
I feel like if you have criteria, then you can have
She's
a logical
dealing with
response.
Dealing with Dave the Jackass. I'm the only way. We need to determine the criteria. Like I don't know. Just talking nonsense.
Okay, fine. So
no.
Just
go ahead.
Nonsense.
No,
only.
I think the criteria. Legitimately, the thing about Dak that I keep saying, and our pal Maurice Jones-Drew laughs in my face, and I keep telling him, listen, Maurice, There's 50 years worth of Super Bowl evidence. That's been 100 football, 100 football teams have gone into that game and played it. Not once has a rookie QB ever taken his team to a Super Bowl. Now, I know that rookie QBs didn't play as much in the first, say, 40 years, but still, that's a legit number there.
Did
we don't
rookie,
know how Dak's going to deal with the
did
pressure.
Did a rookie QB have the same O-line as the Cowboys?
Bro, it's,
like,
it's
as good I, of an O-line, you know what I'm saying? Not,
it's no pressure, man. It's no pressure. Just like, so who's the quarterback? Is it Hurst for Alabama?
Yeah, Jalen Hurst.
And
yeah.
The quarterback.
And he was like, what?
The redshirt freshman from USC.
Mm-hmm.
Man, them guys is built different, man.
Some guys are.
No, just like, what word I want to use?
No anxiety. There's no anxiety.
Whatsoever,
no,
man.
Like,
it's ice.
I get that ice in the veins, and you could see that on Jalen Hurts. That's absolutely right.
You can see it.
You can really feel it. But you know what? People always talk about. We can't have it both ways. You always hear about, oh, there's no more pressure on any single person in sports than being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Here's a little more pressure for you. And I know this sounds all good, but it does inject a little bit more pressure. The Cowboys are supposed to win this game. They're the number one seed.
I like it, Shaq.
The feel-good story.
I just like the way you said supposed to.
Yeah,
the number one seed. Hey, guess what? You know who got the curse of supposed to on his head a decade ago? Tony Romo. 13-3. The Cowboys. Oh, yeah, they're supposed to win this game against the division rival Giants.
Dak Prescott went in wasn't there and took, supposed to be there. Dak Prescott wasn't supposed to be good.
But that's
Dak Prescott wasn't supposed to be a starting quarterback in the National Football
That's
League.
Exactly
so
right.
So maybe his supposed to counteracts right. the other supposed
Yeah, on some level had a devil may care kind of attitude. I'm not supposed to even be in here. Now he's supposed to win. The feel-good story of 2016 is officially over.
I guess.
Now you're supposed to go win this game, Dak. Now go do it against a good team coming in there.
I guess we forgot why he played at Mississippi State and the teams they played. Legit teams.
All right, but
like
he didn't win. But the difference is they didn't win that many of those games.
He's always been that guy, is what I'm saying.
Oh, but you know what? That actually supports my point. He was on Mississippi State playing Bama. Now he's on the Dallas Cowboys at home. Everybody, the Cowboys are the NFC. They're the odds-on favorite to go to the Super Bowl. That's a lot of pressure.
He was Mr. Mississippi State, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know who my offensive lineman is. Give me two receivers. Can't even name them. They're probably not in the NFL. But I've always been the man. Oh, so now you give me an offensive line, and you're going to give me a running back, and you're going to give me a Pro Bowl receiver. I got a Hall of Fame tight end, and I got a slot guy in Beasley, man. He can work any linebacker. And I've been the
Great.
Man.
Great. That's the glass half full
It's set up. It's set up for him. Like, he's supposed to be in this situation because he's always been that guy who's never had help. So now he has help. It's a whole different
story. Here's my scenario. Here's my hypothetical scenario for you.
Okay.
Let me just give you some.
Okay. I'm going to go to this one.
Let me give you this.
I'm going to go to this one right
now. No,
here.
I'm going
so
here.
So Tom Brady, supposed to. Six-round draft pick. He's supposed to.
No. He has a couple of rings.
I know he's
but
at the time.
Right. No, but
I'm just
that's
saying
not saying
time.
How did he get that first ring? When he got that first ring, was he supposed to do anything then? No, he had no pressure.
So I don't know what the narrative.
My point exactly. Dak in the same situation.
No.
Yeah.
Number one seed, Dallas Cowboys.
Let me
throw this scenario at you. Ready? The Packers get the ball. They kick a field goal to start the game. It's 3-0. Dak throws an interception right on the
first.
Wait,
why is he throwing an interception?
I'm just saying, let's say this happens. I'm giving you a hypothetical.
Oh, okay, got it.
Dak throws an early pick.
Right.
Rodgers turns that into 7. Now it's 10-0 all of a sudden road team.
This is a great point. You know what's the difference? They actually have an outside the numbers passing game now, which they didn't
come on, man. You've played in some of these games. You've played in these games.
I'm trying to find out where we're going.
All right, let's complete this circle.
Okay.
Actually, you weren't on the Steelers at that point.
Okay.
But they when teams
Take your time.
When a team is supposed to do it, and all of a sudden things whoa, this isn't going the way we expected. The energy in the building, and I can tell you sitting in the stands for it, you feel it, and it definitely reaches the sidelines because I've talked to players about that. You feel
Since
it like,
Tony
oh,
Romo got hurt,
oh,
Dallas
no.
Cowboys supposed to wasn't even supposed to be in this situation.
I know. That was a great feel-good
story.
So
what are we talking about? So every week we got to have a checkbook or a checklist for Dak. Every week. He didn't check everything you want him to check off, as far as like being a rookie, handling his business in the big-time Jerry's world. He didn't check off all that. So all now right. It's supposed to. Every week.
All prelude.
Falling into
the big
media.
No.
Yes, you are. I can't believe this. You, out of all people, are falling into this trap.
I am not falling into. I'm telling you what reality is, Ike. That's all prelude to the games that matter. Week nine is meaningless. It feels big at the time.
Who?
I'm saying it feels big at the time. This is a whole different thing. You know the pressures.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me see that piece of paper.
Which one?
The one that you wrote the list on.
One that we went from the threes up?
Oh, yeah, Freeland. Yeah, figure this out for us. Dak is at six.
So I agree with 7 and 8. I'm good with Alex Smith being 7 and B.O., as you call him, being 8. So I'm good with this. Here's where I'm going to say I'm a little leery of the Seattle offensive line. They're the number 32 paid team, so the expectations are low. And yes, they've exceeded. And yes, I don't want to ever talk about George Fant never playing a snap. If I hear that again, I will lose my mind. Like on the broadcast, I will lose my mind. But
Tony Gonzalez played college basketball.
Did you know Tyreek Hill's fast? Really fast?
He's Ryan
really,
Fitzpatrick
really fast.
Went to Harvard.
Oh, okay. The kicker.
Brady, sixth round draft pick. Dak Prescott, fifth round draft pick.
Is an opera singer. Fourth. Got it. Yeah. So,
fourth
okay.
Round.
So,
you don't embarrass me like that.
I tried to correct you.
All right.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to switch 5 and 6. And
so
I'm
Wilson.
Over Russell Wilson?
What? I'm sorry.
And you're going Rodgers over. Rodgers is the best. That's enough.
How are you going to disrespect Tom Brady like that?
I'm telling you who the best player I've ever seen.
So mine goes.
At the quarterback position?
Best quarterback I've ever watched.
Okay, so from 8 up. Osweiler, Alex Smith, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, Brady.
7's a win or two. And you know what? Russell Wilson to me is 4 there. Matt Ryan, well, let's see him do it in the.
Okay, yeah, let's see him do it. Because right, I can make a case for Matt Ryan.
You know, supposed to do it. Matt Ryan's supposed to do it
a long time ago.
Yep,
I haven't done nothing.
Supposed to do it this weekend. Let's see if he can do it against Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill and those.
Because them boys playing good defense right now.
Yes, they are. They're not to really stop it. I don't know.
Listen, anything you saw against the Lions. Don't be down on your Lions.
Yes. Hey,
that's how you feel about Pittsburgh.
I don't feel that way. No,
I actually watched the game, and I saw that the Lions couldn't get anything going. They didn't score a touchdown.
At least Jim Caldwell punted with 7 minutes left in the season, down 2 touchdowns. That was a great move by them. Oh, yeah, that'll work out. That'll definitely. Yeah. We'll get the ball back with 3 minutes left, and then we'll definitely put 2 touchdowns on the board. We'll catch up that way. All right, great stuff. Cynthia Freeland, Ike Taylor, let's get to it. Kevin Harlan.
Shotgun snap to Rodgers. Back pedals. Now winds up. Moves up. Arching spiral pass. It'll end up in the end zone. It's a jump ball and it's caught. It's caught. Back of the end zone. It's caught. Randall Cobb, an over the shoulder catch on a jump ball under the crossbar. The Packers have scored. 42-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass. As time expires in the first half. Rodgers to Randall Cobb.
I mean, I can't help. I have to say it again. Why don't the Packers just call the Hail Mary touchdown play every time they touch the football? Seems like a gangbusters idea that has no failure built into it. All right, you recognize the voice on that one. Really one of the iconic voices in the play-by-play business. He really makes football, basketball, and everything else lots more fun. Here he is, everybody. If you're watching on NFL.com/DDFP, you can see his face. There he is. It's Kevin Harlan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Dave. Great to be on with you. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate the time, and I mean it. I would skip right over it, but you really do. You're one of those guys who I feel like when you flip on the radio or the TV and it's Kevin Harlan on the game, you get excited. Like, yeah, I don't know that there, which isn't to denigrate anyone else, but there aren't that many guys that sort of fit that bill at this point. Icons, and I put you into that category.
Well, aren't you? You're very kind. I appreciate that very much. I love the game. You know, I grew up in the game. My family was, my dad was with the Packers for 37 years. So I was a ball boy and around NFL football from the time I was about 11 years old, working summers for the Packers, game day for the Packers. And I love the league and I love the excitement, especially this time of year when you've got these playoff games with so much meaning, so much individual, terrific performance every game. To me, it's just exhilarating. And so I, when people hear excitement, I hope they realize it is very sincere because I cherish the game. It's a part of the fabric of our family. I've grown up with it, like I said, and I enjoy this time of year as much as anybody. I'm a fan at heart first, and then probably a broadcaster second.
Well, that's interesting you touch on that because, it seems to me in the 20th century it was taboo to acknowledge that you were a human being and maybe grew up rooting for a football team. Shame the devil that anyone ever mentioned that you have some football allegiance in your background. I feel like people are loosening it up on that a little bit. Like you say, your dad worked with the Packers, but your first gig in the NFL was calling Chiefs games. Do you have a favorite team at this point?
Well, because I grew up with Green Bay, probably the Packers, certainly. I think the story is so unique. And while you're young, you don't think about that. But the older I've gotten, the more I've seen, this is my 32nd consecutive year of broadcasting the NFL, you begin to appreciate just how unique the story is. With all the original teams in the NFL going back to 1919, 1920, only one is still in the city of their origin, and that's Green Bay. And the fact that this small town has been able to support a team, albeit with help over the years from unlikely sources like George Halas, who owned the Chicago Bears before that and began the Decatur Staleys. You know, you begin to appreciate the colorful history of the league, and it's as colorful and as vibrant now as we seem to think baseball is with their history. You know, we always think about Babe Ruth and the Yankees. There's just as much color and pageantry and depth to the history of the NFL, and Green Bay is one of those sites. So as I've grown older and appreciated the league more and the things that make it work, the Green Bay franchise certainly has been a favorite. But I broadcast the Chiefs for 9 years on radio and work with Hall of Fame quarterback Len Dawson, so I've got a great affinity for the Chiefs. But I do see greatness in every organization, the people that make it go. I respect the Patriots. I respect the Steelers. I love what other teams have done over the years. But we've all got a favorite, and I'd be lying if I didn't say my favorite is in Green Bay, because that's my childhood. That's what I began with.
Of course, at least in this space. This is a safe space, Kevin Harlan.
You're
allowed to be a human being here. Yeah, we support that, and in fact, we celebrate that.
You.
Now, it's ironic then you're a Packers guy, you know, the face really of the NFL, that then you wind up with the face of the AFL, their foe in the first Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs. As a matter of fact, you were there in 1993, the one and only time the Chiefs played the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs in Arrowhead Stadium. Joe Montana, number 19 for those Chiefs, under center there. Let's take a quick listen back to Kevin Harlan.
Running to the near side. He's hit again. There's a fumble, and it's picked up. It's Derek Thomas.
Marcus over the middle. First down, 120. 6-8, 15, 10. 5, touchdown!
Here comes the rush, and the punt is blocked. It's picked up by Kansas City.
A fumble on the play. It's loose. There's a pile. Sally Moore picks it up with a 10. He rumbles to the game.
Derek Thomas
stole the ball.
Heard just a little bit of Lenny Dawson in there. I grew up watching Inside the NFL with Len Dawson and Nick Bonacani. Yeah, that 93 game, we heard just a little bit of sound from that. It was the block punt there. I'm starting to think, Kevin Harlan, I don't mind telling you, I wear it on my sleeve. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers guy. So you called that playoff loss for the Steelers. You also called the playoff loss or the Super Bowl loss against those Packers in Super Bowl 45. I don't know what to make of this. You're calling the game this weekend in KC.
Well, I love the Steelers, and they're one of my favorite teams. It just so happens they've been so good at so many stages of Dave, your life and my life and following the league that they're always in big games. They always seem to be there at the very end, which is a credit to the organization and what they've done. When I got the Chiefs job, I was 24. And Len Dawson, well, a Hall of Fame quarterback at the time, was with me. And he, if I'm not mistaken, Dave, I think he was drafted by Pittsburgh.
That's correct.
If I'm not mistaken.
They also had Johnny Unitas in at one point, too.
Yes, they did. They've had some good ones. And they've got a pretty good one right now in Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know if there's a stronger, more explosive team on either end of the game right now than the Steelers. The three guys they've got, Bell, Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown, as a trio, are as explosive as any we're going to see in the league. And I'm including Rodgers in whatever he has to work with the Packers. In the defensive side, and we've seen this over the last 6 or 7 weeks since they've been on this winning streak, right now there is not a more intimidating defense in pro football than the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, I think they are channeling as much of the great Pittsburgh defenses we've seen in the past into what they are right now. And this is a developing, construct-as-you-go type team. They start three rookies. Mm-hmm. They've got certainly the James Harrisons, which give texture to that defense. But this Pittsburgh team right now, over, I think, any other team, and I'm putting New England and Green Bay and Dallas in that category, is the most fascinating because of where they were and where they are now and how almost in midstream, Dave, they have become like a completely different personality. You know, big and boisterous on offense, hard-hitting, intimidating on defense. They are right now the single scariest team, I think, of any team in the playoffs, AFC or NFC.
You know, I certainly can see where you're coming from on that. The Chiefs with Justin Houston, though, they become a very different defense. So many great storylines, really. We were talking about it. You know, maybe this makes me sound like in the bourgeoisie, but I like the divisional round. We don't have a whole lot of Cinderella stories. We have the juggernauts from the 2016 regular season all matching up now. Aaron Rodgers is going to Big D. So, I mean, you have the Seattle Seahawks, you know, going to the high-flying Falcons. This is as good. The divisional round to me. You do basketball, you do all manner of sports. Is the divisional round the best weekend in sport?
I would agree. Now, we just had a pretty good one because when you get the playoffs going, there's always this, all right, is there a Cinderella? Is there a team that's going to pop out of no place and become that Green Bay Packers of 2010? You know, the Giants, when they were a wild card, making it through, winning on the road, including Lambeau, and then facing Brady and winning in the Super Bowl. You know, right now we're kind of down to the teams that certainly have the most glisten to them. They've got they've got the most to really back up what their record says they are. Russell Wilson, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Matt Ryan, maybe the MVP, and then go to the other matchups. You've got them all over the place. But this weekend kind of is the best of the best. These are the intriguing stories, the kind of stories people can hang their NFL hats on, and you know you're going to get a performance worth talking about. It's not going to be blasé. It's not going to be just run-of-the-mill. There are going to be fireworks, and that's what this weekend possesses. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. It is the best of the best with a wide spectrum to gather from. It's not that dangler over there that just kind of got in. These are the teams that earn the right to make this second weekend. And I would agree with you, Dave. You know, I know you're a football fan that goes back with history, and history tells you that this is the weekend. If you're going to watch any at all, this is the one to watch and really immerse yourself in.
It's so true, but now I'm going back to this whole you called the Steelers Super Bowl loss and that playoff game. Maybe, what if it's like, oh, I missed my flight? You know, like what about that, Kevin? Oh, you know what? I got the sniffles. You don't want me calling the game at less than 100%. And then maybe you just don't make it to Arrowhead.
I want you to know something, and you're a pro. I really do not care who wins. I really don't. What I live for, you know, for instance, the other night, if Eli Manning had thrown a Hail Mary pass to Odell Beckham Jr., if Ben Roethlisberger, throws a seam route and he's got Antonio Brown in mid-stride, if Le'Veon Bell has this dance and this move and this cut and cut and cut and bang, there he goes, you know what? I just want a great game. I want great plays. That to me is what it's about. Do I like the Chiefs? Sure, I like the Chiefs. Do I live in Kansas? We raised our family there. Yeah, but I want a great game. Are the Steelers and the Cowboys as intriguing to me as the as my team, the Packers, my team, the Chiefs? Absolutely. I'm such a fan. And I think you always begin with a team. That's what makes a fan. But then you love the league. You love the Roethlisbergers. You love the Ezekiel Elliott story in Dallas. You love the stability, the stable feel that a guy like Alex Smith gives the Chiefs, the electrifying moves of Tyreek Hill. I mean, these are all things that you embrace as a fan. So who wins, I do not care. I just want good games, because good games, I think, bring out the best in people that cover them, people that broadcast them, and that's what I want. I want what's good for the league, and what's good for the league are good games, and so I really do not care who wins. I really don't.
I do believe you when you say that. How about this? Could you do this for – I'm sure every hack in the world asks you to do this. Could you do me a favor? You did this for me. You visited my show about 10 years ago, and you were nice enough to do something like this back then. I'm going to ask you to do it again. Could you call the game-winning touchdown from Damashek to Damashek? Dave
Damashek is under center. He looks over a nickel secondary right now. It's third and goal at the 7. Damashek drops back to throw, breaks a tackle, cuts to his right. Now cocks his arm and fires a line drive into the caught. Damashek with a belt-high grab underneath the crossbar. Heavily covered, and they've got the lead.
I knew it. I knew I was clutch. I always knew it. You didn't believe me behind the glass. But Kevin Harlan just made it so. What a thrill. I'm sorry. I don't consider you a – I didn't bring you on here just to do a little performance.
No, I'm a monkey, right? You can flip a coin, and I'll sing and dance and do all this other stuff.
Well, you're a fun guy. When you say, when you start doing – once you open that can of worms of calling guys, streakers running around down on the field, people then know you're a fun guy and want you to do some fun for that. Now, answer me this. Joe Buck was here a couple of weeks ago. He told an off-color story about one time during while Brett Favre threw a touchdown pass, he had to go to the bathroom. Let's play that back real quick here.
I couldn't get to the bathroom, and I kept going, I've got to go. And somebody handed me like one of those little water bottles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I just slapped that away, and it was a trash can like that with a bag in it. So now the break happens, and stage fright hits. And I can't go.
Kevin Harlan, have you ever had something like that happen to you in the broadcast booth?
I have run out during a commercial break. I'll ask, you know, how much. Here's an interesting story. When I was – Joe and I were at Fox together. When Fox got the rights from CBS, they hired four young broadcasters. They hired Joe Buck and Tom Brenneman and Kenny Albert and me. We were their four. Hmm. And our two leaders were Summerall and Stockton. You know, two Hall of Fame voices, then these young kids. And I have since moved to CBS, certainly, but know Joe and appreciate his sense of humor. And my dad actually, isn't it? My dad was actually with the baseball Cardinals when Joe's dad, Jack, was broadcasting the Cardinals. And when he was the media relations director for the baseball Cardinals in the late 60s, I was 5, 6, 7 years old. My dad would bring me to the game on Sundays after church. And I used to sit up in the back of the KMOX broadcast booth with Jack Buck and Harry Carey broadcasting the games. And it shows you how the life kind of comes around in a circle. Then Joe and I are working together in our late 20s with Fox many years ago. But I was doing a game for Fox, and we were going to overtime, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I thought we were off the air, and I asked my producer, hey, can I go to the bathroom real quick before we come back? And it was on the air. It made air. So we all do it. You know what they do now, though, Dave, is they've got, which is great, they've got bathrooms, actually, in a lot of the brand-new stadiums in the back of our broadcast booths. So we can literally go, like, 15 feet, shut the door, go, and get back within that minute and a half break to do it. And that's what I've done. But I can appreciate what Joe did, or having tried to do in this case. And we've all got, because we're drinking water during the whole game. We're all trying to keep our voices lubricated. You just got to. That's just kind of part of Broadcasting 101, so I get it. We drink a lot of water. You don't know it.
Back to where we started. You're a human being. I like that the 21st century is now accommodating that. That's nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Yeah, it's great.
I do like that. All right, I could go on and on with you for another few hours here, Kevin Harlan. Maybe we could do it again in the off season, but there really is no off season for you. From the Kansas City Kings to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Packers and all the stuff, we love your work and we really appreciate the time today.
You're very kind. Appreciate your kind words. Thank you so much. Great to be on with you, Dave. Good to talk to you again.
Take a picture of yourself. Take a picture of yourself too at Arrowhead. You should do you ever stop off at the tailgate on the way into a place like that? It must smell delicious.
It is. Here's the killer is when you're doing the game and it's the first quarter and some of the charcoals and the barbecues are still kind of in their last moments of cooking or burning or whatever they're doing, that wafts the smell kind of comes into the stadium and you can smell it. Now you haven't had a chance to enjoy it because you've been in the box working, but you can smell it. And I think just that my family usually was out there when I was doing the Chiefs, they were out there barbecuing and tailgating all the time with other families and friends. And I'd always get these stories after the games. Oh, Dad, you should have been there. We cooked this chicken or we had this sausage or we had this brisket or whatever like that. And, you know, we don't get any of that, but I think the thought of people enjoying that, enjoying the league, enjoying NFL football, that brings a smile to my face. That's the way I think we all want it. People making it an event because, and we know certainly, Dave, in these playoffs, it is event. It is much see, much attend. It's a blast.
I'm sure your boy had you on full blast on the radio, so you were at that tailgate one way or the other, and I'm sure he was busting with pride that his old man was calling the game there. So have a great time, and you know, as a fan of football and a fan of great play-by-play guys, really the little details. I love hearing you on those calls when you give the details on the uniforms and everything else. People are hearing all the little stuff you're saying out there, and we appreciate it.
Aren't you nice to mention that? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Wonderful to spend time with you today.
Thank you so much. Have a great time in Arrowhead. Let's make sure the road team wins that one, right? We can agree. I think if we learned anything, he wants the Steelers to win this game. I think that's what the – no? All right. Anyway, the great Kevin Harlan, everybody, a great way to wrap up the Dave Damaschek football program today. We'll be back to tell you who's going to win those divisional round games later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.